Penguin Random House Audio presents I Love You, But I've Chosen Darkness by Claire V. Watkins. Read for you by Kristen C. I often wondered where I'd have been if I was in a city and a stranger to my neighbors, as I so often had been in Las Vegas. Martha Claire Watkins. I've tried to tell this story a bunch of times. This will be my last try. Here in my garden with Moana, Lucky, Abigail, and Boomerang. Each naked, except for Boomerang, who is cinched into a blue plastic saddle. The garden hardly merits the word by the standards of the house-proud, resource-hoarding whites I must count myself among. My garden is mostly rock and dirt. Wild. Needless as Moana with so many sticks in her hair. Lucky and Abigail are Netflix properties. They have no sticks in their hair, for my daughter gave them butch haircuts last time she was here. The story starts at some point in my daughter's first year. The point, perhaps, at which I became aware of my inability to feel any feelings beyond those set to music by the Walt Disney Company. I'd banned Disney, its toxic messages and bankrupt values, forbid it, my child, long before conceiving her. Yet there I was, listening to the Moana soundtrack a dozen times a day and digging it, screening the film as often as my infant's budding synapses could bear. No other text moved me as much, with the exception, perhaps, of Charlotte's Web, particularly the chapter called Escape, in which Wilbur briefly breaks out of his pen, and the goose, soon to be yoked unmerrily to her eggs, urges him yonder. The woods, the woods. They'll never, never, never catch you in the woods. Or maybe it starts before then. Like I said, I've tried to tell it a bunch of times. Each try takes me further from whatever it is I'm after. I finish on an alien shore with a raft of needs, reminded once again that books heal people all the time, just not usually the people who write them. I promise to need nothing from this last try. It's only a yarn for the dolls. It starts with my husband, Theo. I've disguised his name because he is innocent. It starts with Theo in a waiting room reading over my shoulder. 1. Since my baby was born, I have been able to laugh and see the funny side of things. A. As much as I ever did. B. Not quite as much now. C. Not so much now. D. Not at all. 2. I have looked forward with enjoyment to things, A, as much as I ever did, B, not quite as much now, C, not so much now, D, not at all. That's kind of evasive, Theo says. As much as I ever did. Do you think I'm being dishonest? No. But what, Theo? The baby squawks. I rock the car seat with my foot. I'm just saying a diagnostic like this shouldn't be multiple choice, Theo says. It should be short answer, or essay, don't you think? A, as much as I ever did. 10-item Edinburgh Postnatal Depression Scale. 1. Since my baby was born, I have been able to laugh and see the funny side of things. We tried to find you a nickname in utero, but nothing fit so well as the ones we had for your father's scrotum and penis, your brothers Krang and Wangston Hughes. An app dinged weekly with developmental progress and fruit analogies. Some weeks I wrote my own. This week your baby is the size of a genetically modified micropeach, which itself is about the size of a red globe grape. Your baby's ear holes are migrating this week. Your baby can hear you and may already be disappointed by what it hears. This week, your baby is the size of a medjool date, dropped from the palm and left to soften in the dust. Your baby is now developing reflexes like lashing out and protecting its soft places. It is also developing paradoxes and an attraction to the things that harm it. This week, your baby is the size of a navel orange spiked with cloves and hung by a light blue ribbon on the doorknob of a friend's guest bathroom. Your baby is developing methods of self-defeat this week, among them boredom, urgency, and nostalgia. It may even be besieged by ennui. Your baby has begun to dream, though it dreams only of steady heartbeats and briny fluid. 2. I have looked forward with enjoyment to things. Pain-free bowel movements, sushi, limitless beer and pot brownies, daycare, prestige television events, everyone going home. My sister visits and asks how much a doula costs. Does a person really need one? No, I tell her. Not if you have an older woman in your life who is helpful, trusted, up to date on the latest evidence-based best practices, and shares your birth politics. Someone who is not all judgmental, won't project her insecurities onto you, is respectful of your boundaries and your beliefs and those of your spouse, carries no emotional baggage or unresolved tensions, no submerged resentment, no open wounds, no helicoptering, no neglect, no library of backhanded compliments, no bequeathed body issues, no treadmill of jealousy and ingratitude, no internalized misogyny, no gaslighting, no minimizing, no apology debt. No, I'm sorry you feel that way. No, I'm sorry you misunderstood me. No, beauty must suffer. No, don't eat with your eyes. No, I cut the ends off the roast because you did, / I did it to fit the pan. That's a steal, Lise says. $750 for the mother you wish you had. 3. I have felt scared or panicky for no good reason. There are little white moths drifting twitchy through the house, sprinkling their moth dust everywhere. I cannot find their nest. I brace myself each time I take a towel or a sheet from the linen closet. You are born jaundiced. We wrap you in a stiff so-called blanket of LEDs to get your levels right. She's at 12, they tell us, without saying whether the goal is 15 or 0 or 100, not telling us whether we are trying to bring them up or down. I don't know which way to pray, Theo says. Little glowworm baby. Spooky blue light-up insured baby in the bassinet, hugged by this machine instead of us. A gnarly intestine-looking tube coming out the bottom of your swaddle. Jaundiced and skinny, though neither of us are. Failure to thrive. In the car, Theo agrees that a ridiculously lofty standard. Haven't we every advantage? Health insurance and advanced degrees, study abroad and strong female role models. Aren't we gainfully employed and doing work we do not hate, no less? Didn't we do everything right? And in the right order? And yet, can either of us say we are thriving? I remind myself it's not so bad, the jaundice, the smallness. Lise says, I was little and look at me. I remind myself of the NICU and pediatric oncology, which we must pass on the way to our appointments. I remember the apparatus we learned about in breastfeeding class that the lactation consultants can rig up for a man. A sack of donated breast milk and a tube taped to his pectoral, positioned to deliver milk to the baby as though through his nipple. I comfort myself with the dark, unmentioned scenarios wherein this rig would be necessary. A box on the birth certificate paperwork says, I wish to list another man as the baby's biological father. See reverse. I see reverse, curious what wisdom the hospital has for such a situation, what policies the board has come up with to solve this clusterfuck of the heart, what discreet salve for-profit medicine might offer the modern woman's roving loins, but the reverse is blank. Theo has hymns and spirituals, but I can remember only the most desperate lines from pop songs. If you want better things, I want you to have them. My girl, don't lie to me. Tell me, where did you sleep last night? 4. I have been anxious or worried for no good reason. Lise says, Your phone is ringing. What's the area code? There are certain area codes I categorically avoid. What about home? Especially home. In my Percocet visions, our blankets are meringue thick and quicksand suffocation heavy, the baby somewhere in them. From the toilet, I shouted out, She's not.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?